Open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. According to a new study by the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety, nearly 80% of U.S. drivers express major anger, aggression, and road rage behind the wheel at least once per year. Listen to that. 80% of U.S. households, 80% of U.S. drivers are always on the road filled with anger, aggression, and road rage. The most alarming findings suggest that approximately 8 million U.S. drivers engage in extreme examples of road rage, including personally ramming into another vehicle or getting out of the car to confront another driver. Many drivers reported engaging in the following types of road rage. Listen to this. Purposely tailgating, 51%. Yelling at another driver, 47%. Honking to show irritation or anger, 45%. Making angry signs, flipping the bird, 33%. Trying to block another vehicle from changing lanes, 24%. That's a lot of people that are angry on the highways. One of today's study researchers concluded this: inconsiderate driving, bad traffic, and daily stress of life can transform minor frustrations into dangerous road rage. Far too many drivers are losing themselves in the heat of the moment and lashing out in ways that can turn deadly. And of course, road rage is only one way that anger is shown. We all know people, and some might be here in this room, that are angry almost every waking moment. There are even people who go out of the way to try to find something angry about. Listen, then there are those that take out their anger on others, sometimes verbally, but other times physically. I know that there are parents that take the rage out on their children and out on their wives and husbands everywhere that take their anger out on their spouse. This is not acceptable in the eyes of God. Anger is a natural emotion, but it can be harmful if not properly managed. Many people, even Christians, find themselves in bondage to those anger. Today's message is, we're going to continue in our series, Breaking the Chains, and today we're going to talk about breaking the bondage of anger. The Apostle Paul offers guidance on how to handle anger in a way that honors God and promotes healthy relationships. We're going to look at this passage today and learn how to break the chains of anger in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you're Sam with me, we'll read verses 25 through 27. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for this message. We pray, God, that everyone here will set their anger aside today and listen to this message and how to break the bondage of anger. Lord, we know we get angry, but you have told us to get angry and sin not in your word today. And help us to see that there's the right anger and there's a wrong anger that we can have today. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, we need to acknowledge the different types of anger. While we usually focus on the negative side of anger, there's a positive side, usually identified it as righteous anger. Jesus got angry. You remember, he got angry. One of the examples of righteous anger in the Bible is found in Jesus' action when he overturned the tables of the money changers and merchants in the temple. If you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, I'm going to show you that there is a time to be angry and there is a thing called righteous anger. Jesus was angry for the right reason here. Matthew chapter 21 in verses 12 and 13. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, notice what he said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. This is a display of Jesus' zeal for God's house and his anger towards those who were desecrating it. Another example of righteous anger is found in the story of Moses, who became angry with the Israelites for worshiping the golden calf while he was on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. If you'll turn your Bible back in the Old Testament to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Moses here was right angry for the right reason also. We see this because he had left Aaron in charge while he went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. What happened while he was up there? They didn't trust God to meet their needs. They built a golden calf to worship. They built it out of, they threw all the gold in a pile and got it hot and made a golden calf out of it and began to worship this golden calf. Now look in Exodus 32, 19 and 20. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strew it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses' anger was motivated by a desire for the people to turn back to God and avoid the consequences of their sin. He was angry for all the right reasons. In both of these examples, the anger was driven by a desire for righteousness and justice and was directed towards actions that were contrary to God's will. However, It is important to note that the Bible also cautions against allowing anger to lead to sin and emphasizes the importance of forgiveness and reconciliation. So while there are examples of righteous anger in the Bible, and there are times when we should display righteous anger ourselves, it is important to approach anger with caution and to always seek God's guidance in how to handle it in a way that honors Him. We can safely say that most of the anger we see displayed is not the righteous variety. This is the type of anger where we must break the chains and no longer be in bondage to it. Listen, there's reasons, there's legitimate reasons for us to be angry. When we see people going against the will of God, it is righteous anger for us to be angry. But the Bible warns us to be angry and sin not. That's the important part. Be angry and do not sin. You don't have to sin when you become angry. All of us get angry at times. We get angry at our kids. We get angry at our spouse. We get angry at our friends. We get angry at other people. But the Bible warns us to get angry and sin not. You don't have to sin when you get angry. We can all do God's will when we get angry and not sin. That's the most important part. The next issue is address the root cause of anger. Justin John Bodine, a 27-year-old man from Minnesota, pleaded guilty to fifth-degree assault charges for violently losing his temper. Here's the irony. He was on his way to anger management classes when he committed the crime. He committed this crime of anger against someone, but he was on his way to anger management classes. According to the criminal complaint, Bodine was waiting at a bus stop when he started to harass a 59-year-old woman. Witnesses say he yelled at her over what he felt was a general lack of respect. When she took out her cell phone to call the police, Bodine punched her in the face. When a 63-year-old man tried to stop him, Bodine hit him with a blue folder that he held his anger management homework. Police tracked him down by using the papers inside. Bodine said he was angry because he was insulted. What angers you? What leads you to fly off the handle? We have all seen people who are completely unhinged, yelled at their spouses or their children or those whom they call friends. Why are they doing that? By identifying the source of our anger, we can take practical steps to address it and prevent it from escalating into destructive behavior. I know that in the moment of rage, most of us don't stop to ask, why am I so angry? But it can be done. Why am I so angry? What did this person do to me to cause me to be angry? What did my child do? Listen, I heard a man talking on the radio this morning on the way over here. And he said his child loved to stick things in electric socks. Now that's dangerous. And he told his child, no, 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 that will hurt you, that will kill you. But the child kept trying to stick things into the electric socket. He said this made him think of the way God does us. God warns us about the dangers of doing things, and many times we don't listen. Many times we get mad at God because we don't get what we want. But God always has a plan for our lives. The Bible says that God has a plan for each of our lives individually. And He does not want us to go down the wrong path. That's why He puts roadblocks in the way. That's why He does not let us go down things and go down roads that we shouldn't go down. That's why He closes doors at times and does not let us go through them, because He's afraid that on the other side of that, there's trouble, there's chaos, there are problems. God has a way of keeping us from trouble. And this goes back to getting angry. When we get angry, ask yourself, why am I so angry? Why am I so angry at my child? Why am I so angry at my spouse? Why am I so angry at my friends? When we see the source of our anger, and when we realize that we might do the same thing that our child did, we might do the same thing that our spouse did, we might do the same thing that our friends do. Listen, we need to take a moment and ask ourselves, why am I so angry? Before blowing up at someone, stop and pray. God, why am I so angry? How can I get rid of this anger? Help me to overcome it. The Bible says, he that's slow to wrath is of good understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Notice something here. The person who is slow to anger has great understanding. This is a person who understands what triggers anger in them and has learned how to control it. But the person who blows up at any little thing that bothers them is described as one who exalts folly. The Message paraphrase says that the person stockpiles stupidity. Listen, we have legitimate reasons of getting angry, but the Bible says that we should not sin when we get angry. We should go ask God, why am I so angry? Why am I so angry at this person? Why am I so angry at this child? Why am I so angry at this individual? We need to ask ourselves, why am I so angry? Listen. Thirdly, act quickly to resolve conflict. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you've ever been through any type of premarital or marital counseling, you've probably been advised to not go to bed with unresolved anger. In other words, you need to make peace over whatever it is you've been fighting about. And I've counseled hundreds of married couples, and this is what I've told them. Don't ever go to bed mad, because it causes more problems for your family than it will cause individuals. Listen, we can get angry, but let that anger turn to peace before you go to bed. Let that anger work itself out. Be quick to resolve conflict. In other words, you need to make peace over whatever it is you've been fighting about. This is good advice, not just for married couples, but for everyone. And not just for personal conflict, but conflict within churches. When you allow your anger to fester and bottle it up inside, eventually the dam is going to burst. And usually you start saying and acting in ways that you might not really mean. You are allowing your anger to take control of you. For a Christian, no one should have control over you except the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds us to resolve conflicts quickly and not let the sun go down on our anger. When we allow anger to fester, it can lead to bitterness and resentment. So how do we do this? When you have conflict with a person or a group of people, be the one who steps up and says, obviously, we are in disagreement over this. Can we sit down and talk it over and try to understand each person's side? Or should we wait until we are calm and do it tomorrow? Anytime you're mad at somebody, anytime you feel that anger boiling up, work it out. Solve the conflict. Go to that person and try to work it out individually. You'll be amazed at how quickly things can be resolved when one person decides to be rational. While you can't control the other person or side, you can control yourself with God's help. And putting it off until everyone is calm is not letting the sun go down on your anger. Because you have diffused the situation and given permission to talk about it later. That's good advice that the Apostle Paul gives. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let not the sun go down upon your anger. Let not the sun go down. Solve your issues. Resolve your conflict quickly. Let God work. Let God solve your problems. Work your problems out with your friends, with your children, with your spouse. Work those problems out. Fourthly, avoid giving the devil an opportunity. Leroy Ems said this, "As a new Christian, I was challenged to apply my weekly Bible study personally. I was working through Colossians. The Holy Spirit caught my attention with Colossians 3:8, which says this, "But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." He said, "I had a violent temper. Whenever it flared, I'd haul up and bash my fist into the nearest door. Even though I often bloody my knuckles and once completely smashed a beautiful diamond and onyx ring my wife had given me, I couldn't seem to stop. Yet here's what God's word said to me. Get rid of anger. Cast it aside. Don't get angry." This wasn't just a great advice given to the people of Colossae centuries ago. It was God speaking to me right then. So I made a covenant with God. I promised Him I was going to work on it. My first step was to memorize the verse and review it daily. I prayed and asked the Lord to bring the verse to my mind whenever I might be tempted to lose my temper. And I asked my wife to pray for me and remind me of this verse if she saw me failing in my promise to the Lord. So Colossians 3:8 became a part of my life and gradually removed that sin from me, he says. This is a great story and a great way to handle anger. Paul warns us not to give the devil an opportunity to letting anger control us. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27 again. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You know, anger is not from God. Anger's from the devil. When you get angry, think about this. When you get angry, you're not acting like a Christian. You're acting like a lost person. Lost people get angry all the time. Christians are not supposed to get angry. When we do, we're supposed to resolve that conflict quickly. We're supposed to go to that person and try to work it out. Listen, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, when we're under the control of our anger, we're actually under the control of the devil. While we're not consciously doing so, in reality, we're inviting him to come in and take over the brains, our emotion, and our mouth. And the result of that is not pretty. When you're angry, and when your anger's in control, we are out of control. We must turn it over to the God. And if we're going to break this chain, God can break this chain of anger if you'll just allow him to work in your life. If you'll just allow him to calm your fears, calm your anger, and to work in your life to resolve that conflict. Listen, my friend, all of us get angry. There's no doubt about that. All of us have got angry at somebody one time or another. But we don't have to let that anger become sin. God said in his word, get angry, but sin not. We don't have to sin when we get angry. Listen, we need to go to that person we're angry with and resolve that conflict in the best way we know how. We must go to that person, talk to them, and try to work that problem out. There's not a person here that cannot go to that person that we're mad at and the person we're angry at and work it out. We all have that capability. If we will be the rational person and just ask that person to let us talk to them and work this issue out, work this problem out, listen, we could all be better Christians. Anger can be a challenging emotion to manage, but it is not greater than the power of God. By acknowledging the reality of anger, addressing the root cause of it, by resolving conflicts quickly, and avoiding giving the devil an opportunity, we can learn to manage our emotions and respond in the way that honors God and strengthens our relationship with others. Let us commit today to living in God's grace, not letting anger control us. I would beg of you today, if you are a person that gets anger quickly, that gets angry at your spouse, that gets angry at your children, that gets angry at your grandchildren, I implore you today to ask yourself, why are you so angry? What's causing this anger to come forth? Why am I so mad? Why am I so angry at this person? Did you not do it when you were a child? Did you not make mistakes when you were a child? It goes back to this message I heard this morning on the way to church. This man said that person, that child of his, was always trying to stick something in electrical sockets. He knew it would hurt him. His daddy had told him. But he still found it fascinating that something could go in that electrical socket. Listen. His daddy got mad. But he realized that it was a lesson from God. That God was showing him that even though that child go back and kept going back and kept going back to the electrical socket, it reminded him that God had a plan for him and that he needed to take that anger and place it in a place where it would teach him a lesson. And that lesson was that God many times closes doors that we don't go through because there's problems that we cannot face on the other side of that door. Listen, my friend, many times we get angry with God because he closes one door and he don't open another. But God may have a reason for it. God may be telling you today that you need to be satisfied right where you're at and that you need to serve God to the best of your ability right where you're at. Many people want bigger churches. Many preachers come out of seminary wanting the largest church they can get. They don't realize that you need to pastor smaller churches before you move on to a great big church because you can learn so many lessons in smaller churches. You can learn how to deal with people, how to visit with people, how to help people. There's a lot of lessons you learn in smaller churches before you go to a bigger church. But these young preachers, they want a big church right when they come out of the seminary. They don't realize all the problems they're going to face. They don't realize all the heartaches that's going to come through the people and the anger that's going to be expressed in churches of big calibers. They don't understand that because they never experienced it in a smaller church. Listen, my friend, if God is closing a door, he has a reason for it. Because there might be a problem on the other side of the door. There might be an issue, the reason he won't let you go through that door. We need to take that lesson to heart today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given us. We pray, God, that you would help us be a people that would always ask God why we're angry when we get angry. Help us to break this bondage of anger. Help us to live lives of godliness, sincerity, and calmness as a Christian should live. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those that come out this morning. We pray, God, that be in need in anyone's life today, they would come forth. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.